back for another episode of The Wrap. And before we get started, I think I should announce on here that we do very soon, boys and girls, have a new Heights website coming.
Yes, very soon. Actually,
yes, we've pushed the buttons to make all the interwebs come together.
That's right.
And everything to connect. And we're hoping, now we can't make any promises, but we're hoping that if you you click on, or if you type in, is what I should say, newheightsconnersville.com on Monday, you should be taken to the new site. Now, if you want to be like first in on this, you can just keep trying for the next several days to type in newheightsconnersville.
But we know it's not going to happen at all until 2:30 on Sunday.
2:30 what?
No,
it was 2:30, very specific number.
2:39.
2:39.
Yes, that's right. Okay. That's right.
But if you would like to be a little antsy and see if it may just magically happen earlier, keep on going to newheightsconnersville.com.
Hit refresh every 5 minutes if you have
But we can almost guarantee you, let's just be safe and say like 2:40.
Yeah.
2:40 on Monday afternoon. You can go, like I said, to newheightsconnersville.com and see our whole new
website, and all of our episodes will be right there.
That's what really made me think about it. Totally refreshed website. It looks really fantastic, folks. You'll want to take a peek at it. But right there on the front page will be our latest sermons. Right next door to it will be our latest and most updated rap episodes.
Yeah.
And this one will probably be, probably not, because we'll have episode 22 as well.
Yeah, this one will be on there somewhere.
It'll be on there somewhere. You can find it. That's a whole other story for another day, but I just wanted to let you guys know. Please go check it out. Let us know what you think about
and another cool thing coming up is we are soon to be on your favorite podcast.
Tell me a little bit more about that, please.
So we are getting ready to submit this podcast to Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and any other podcast platform you
Spotify?
Can. I believe Spotify is a possibility on that one.
Oh, so. I feel real big when I make it on Spotify, by the way. Stitcher, whatever, Apple, whatever.
Yeah.
But Spotify, when I make it on there, you've made it, folks. So great. Be looking for that as well, too. If you can't always catch us via video and you're just a person who travels a lot and has a good travel time, this might be a great thing for
I've
you.
I've always been told I have the voice for radio, so.
I have a face,
for radio.
Have the face for radio, right? So very well. So a lot of new things happening here at New Heights technology-wise, but like I said, check in. Let us know what you think of the new newheightsconnersville.com and what you think about the podcast, because we're going to be doing that. I mean, we've been doing I always call it the vodcast because it's video, all right? But what we sound like and how it comes across on a podcast very, very soon. Will that be happening about the same time, new website?
A few weeks after.
Okay, a few weeks after. So we'll keep you updated on that. But let's get to topic for today. We have ended our Solomon series this past Sunday. If you're watching this live right now on a Thursday, we finished that on Sunday. What is just a fascinating story, a fascinating life, a very tragic and very sad life at the very end. And we come to the end of Solomon's life, and what we find out in 1 Kings 11 specifically is that it says, man, if you want to talk about really flaming out, this is probably the definition of flaming out of what happens to Solomon at the end. It tells us that he has a lot of stuff going on, but one big massive problem is that he loves women. Specifically, he loves foreign women. And you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, Ryan. You're telling me our love of women is a problem, or our love of foreign women is a problem. That is not the issue. We'll get to what the real issue is. As an aside, in the King James Version, if you would go there, I told you this the other day.
Yes, yes.
You guys should go there. 1 Kings chapter 11, it says that Solomon loved
in
many...
King James?
King James, I believe
it
is.
Okay.
Solomon loved many strange women, all right? And you guys might be thinking, like, I got one of those strange women. So, hey, hold on to her. Hold on to her tight, all right? But here's the big problem we have. As we come to the end of Solomon's life, and in 1 Kings 11, closing the chapter on all of this, it's not his love for women or even his love for foreign women. It is that his love for these women and their gods superseded the love and the devotion and commitment that he had for God.
Right.
And we call that and have a very specific word for that, and it's what? It starts with an I. Come on, we worship something.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking like this really weird, like
no,
yeah, idol worship.
Idolatry.
Idolatry.
Idol worship, all right? And I know what you're thinking as we say that word. You're thinking to yourself, really, Ryan and Levi? Really? Idolatry is such a big problem in our own day. I mean, isn't that something that's reserved for ancient civilizations, for unsophisticated people, backwoods people that have no education, that they would be caught up in this? Isn't idol worship all about?
Yeah, and they think, well, I don't have a graven image in my living
room. Yes, no graven images here, no statues made out of stone, no statues made out of wood, nothing that I go into my living room and bow down to every night. And yet, I contend that we have just as big of a problem with idolatry today in 2020 as they did back in Solomon's day. And so I just want to talk a little bit about this because, like I said, this really is all of Solomon's problem.
Yeah.
And what I really want to talk about in a little bit, I want to start here at idolatry, but I want to understand why idolatry is such a problem and what is at the heart of idolatry. And so I want you maybe just to think about for a minute, Levi, and maybe for us to talk. What do you see as the biggest forms of idolatry in our day in 2020?
Hmm.
And maybe you see it in other people's lives, or maybe it's something that you just look into your life and say, this is something that really has a hold on me.
I think as a whole, and one that I even struggle with at times is entertainment. Mm. And that could come in various forms, right? I know some people are into gaming really strong or you know, even just television or sports or, you know, whatever it may be, that thing that just takes your time away, you know, and then you get latched into. Facebook can be another one of those things. Just those things that take your allegiance from God in that first place.
Takes your time,
takes
your attention, takes your focus off of what it needs to be on, and it puts it on something else. And this is what I've noticed and what I think is so particularly dangerous and insidious about idolatry and why we often don't think we have an idol problem is it's so subtle.
Mm. And it starts out slow.
It starts out slow, and here's the thing. With all those things that you just mentioned, there's nothing inherently bad.
Right,
about them.
Right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with
there's nothing inherently bad about a TV show or a movie or a game. I mean, I guess some people could make the contention, well, this game is bad because it just has content in it that's bad. But I would contend and
any
say
any game could become idol.
Well, here's the thing. This is what I contend with most things in life. Most things and mediums in life are neutral. Hmm. They have no inherent good or bad to them. We only import good or bad into them based on our actions and our intentions and our thoughts. I know that was a really deep moment right there, folks.
That was very deep.
People are going, right now, what did you just say?
You had them thinking about Minecraft and then just dropped that bomb.
I did. I just dropped I just dropped a bomb there. Yeah, but I would say that. Most things in life are just neutral.
Yeah.
They have no inherent good or no inherent bad. What makes them inherently bad and dangerous and idolatrous is the amount of time and attention and focus and effort that we give to them.
Right.
And often what happens, and it lulls us into it very slowly and seductively and kind of covertly, is that before long, those things have our heart. And so let's just take entertainment as an example and like play this out a little bit. It's kind of what I want to do. So I would say that a form of entertainment, and this is me speaking for me, but I think it also is me speaking for a lot of people in America and across the world. I think a form of entertainment is watching sports, for sure. So what this often looks like is we spend a ridiculous and inordinate amount of time on a Saturday afternoon evening and a Sunday afternoon and evening vegged out on a couch, just glued to a TV watching grown men, NFL, right now is what we're in, bang against each other on a football field. And we become so invested and emotionally tied to that And honestly, like this is just my story. And one of the ways I've helped this, and I'm not saying everybody needs to do this. I'm not saying the NFL's bad. I'm not saying you're a horrible person if you sit on your couch and watch a game. I'm not saying any of that stuff. What I am saying is you can become so emotionally tied, so apathetically disconnected from everything else around you because you are so invested in that. And it's my story. And one thing that's happened, and it happened almost as an accident, and it happened really because I'm too cheap to pay for cable, is I don't have cable right now and haven't for weeks now. Crystal keeps asking me, she's like, well, NFL's back on. Were you wanting to get YouTube TV back? I don't know if that was like a sponsor like thing there.
Oh, no,
gotcha. Shut down.
Right.
Anyways.
You're airing this on YouTube. They don't care.
Oh, man, they're going to love it, aren't they? But for me, it was just like, we got to the point where like it was getting too expensive to have it. And she's like, now, do you want to get it back? Because football's coming back on. Baseball's been on for several weeks now. They're getting ready to go to the playoffs here very soon. I'm just like, you know, I've been without it for so long that it's just kind of like, anymore. I mean, I can follow it along on my phone. It's not the same as watching it like on TV. But I have found it has made an insane, insane difference in my life, not watching sports. And you know, if you know me, if anybody knows me, I love sports. I love to play sports. I love to watch sports. I love to obsess about sports and my favorite teams. But anymore, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I mean, I kind of follow my team. I follow the Yankees still. I still follow my 49ers and my Fighting Irish and all that stuff. But it's just like, there are other things to do.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
time with my family to spend. And I think this is the issue that we have. Again, this is just one example among a million billion different possibilities. Entertainment, sports entertainment. The moment that we become too far invested in a particular sport or a particular team, and I found what it was doing to me was, it was just like, if my team lost, it ruined the rest of my day, but it didn't only ruin my day, it ruined my family's day.
Everybody
They're
is.
Like, don't go around Dad, don't go around Ryan, because he's
going through a rough,
on
a
edge
rough
right
patch.
Now. It's yeah. made my life a whole lot less stressful,
yeah.
to be honest,
yeah.
it really has. And I think you just take that example, apply it to so many other things
oh, gosh,
in life,
yeah.
of how
yeah.
how much time and attention and effort is expended to be able to stay hooked into whatever it is that has your attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I think, like I said, idolatry is such a major problem and such a persistent problem in our lives, even today in modern America.
Well, and yeah, and I like how you put, you know, that just watching a game or just in, you know, I'm going to reveal my nerdy side here, because I'll be honest, I've never really been tempted with idolatry for sports.
Sports, yeah.
That's never been a thing for me. But, you know, it's other things.
Everybody has their thing.
Everybody has their thing.
Or things, yeah.
You know, I remember a couple years ago, I was really into this, like, home automation stuff, you know, and I had my house, like, if you open up doors, it would do certain things.
If you open up the refrigerator after
stuff.
9 p.m.
No, I didn't get that far.
Oh, okay, you didn't get that nerdy.
Didn't get that far.
Okay.
No, it did move the lights to certain sounds and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it now.
I was so, like, into that. Like, I was staying up until, like, 1, 2, 3 in the morning every now and then working on this stuff, and I didn't realize how much time that I had, let's be honest, wasted jumping into that and then saying, well, I don't have time for all this other stuff.
Yep.
You know, until we decided, okay, we're going to, and much in the same vein, you know, let's save some money, let's cut internet and not use our phones for email and stuff like that. Oh my gosh, the amount of time that just,
You bought back time.
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
Right?
And so now we've since brought that internet back into the house, but I think it's kind of broken that, like, okay.
It broke the rhythm and the routine.
Yeah,
and
I still
the
have
habit
my smart lights. They still come on when I tell Alexa to, but I'm not spending hours on this thing. Like this,
yep.
it's a time waster.
I think this is the key, and we've hit on something I hadn't even thought about until this moment. And the issue is with any form of idolatry in our lives, it's all about not just stealing of our heart, but it's stealing of time. And what we
yeah.
have to understand, guys, is we have an incredibly small, finite amount of time on
yeah.
this earth.
Time and resource.
Yeah. And to sit and use it to just waste away on things. Yeah. Is not being a good steward of our times, is not being faithful with what God has given to us. And again, I think that we just connect that to Solomon's story. That's a big part of Solomon's story, is that he was very unfaithful in using and stewarding and appreciating the things that God had given to him, the grace that God had given to him, and he squanders it all on women and wild living. And just, I mean, he does. I mean, you read the book of Ecclesiastes, the whole book of Ecclesiastes is his journey through, I've experienced it all, I've seen it all, I've done it all. And again, what does he say at the end of Ecclesiastes?
It's all meaningless.
It's all meaning. It's all like chasing the wind. You're going after something that you're never going to get, and putting our stock in those things. And really, as you come back to idolatry and thinking about this, because that's what we're really focusing on here, is idolatry is not just putting our stock in bad things. It's taking good things and turning them into
bad things.
Not bad things, God things.
God things,
yeah. We make them our God. We make that
which it takes first place in our lives.
It does. Yeah. It takes priority and it takes first place in our lives. That's what becomes the issue. It's not good things turning into bad things or bad things, you know, starting off and just getting a hold of us. You know, that's the hook and the lure of it is they are good things that get turned into ultimate things. Mm-hmm. And in the end, they then still are our heart away from God.
Yeah.
And we go
off. And that's
off
the thing about adultery is, like you said, it starts out.
That was idolatry, not adultery.
Adultery, yeah.
Idolatry.
Sorry, there's a very
that's a very nuanced, fine line
yeah,
there.
Very fine
make
line
sure we're talking
when you're
the right
saying
thing.
That. But you know, it starts out small, but it's never enough.
No.
It's never enough, so it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And before you know it, you've gone so far, and you're sitting there thinking, how on earth did I get to this position?
Yep. I've heard it termed this way, it was actually put a little more crass like this. I'm going to try to sanitize it and clean it up a little bit, but idolatry is an unrelentless goddess. She's always wanting more from you that you'll never be able to give.
Yeah.
I likened it this way in my sermon on Sunday, is that idolatry is like a fire. The fire never says, oh, that's enough. A fire just consumes and rages and feeds on other stuff before it eventually gets to the point where it's just almost uncontrollable. That's the way idolatry is. It never says, you know, that's all right. I've had enough. You know, you've satisfied me enough. All the gods that we would chase after in life, all the counterfeit gods. And again, I wish we had more time to talk about this, because I think that we sit and think sometimes like, oh, well, I obviously know what he's talking about right now. He's talking about money, something like money. Well, money certainly can be an idol, and I think it is a big idol for our culture in modern America. But I also started talking about some things on Sunday that it frankly probably maybe ticked some people off and really started to kind of step on toes, is we can idolize anything. Could be an idol to us and can become an idol to us. Our family, our children, our spouses. I even said this one on Sunday. This one was brought up in kind of my study. Just our desire to want to be right in everything can become an idol. We worship that. We don't even care if we are right. Just the appearance and thinking that we are right becomes an idol, and it just consumes us. And again, like I said, there's never a point where a counterfeit god or a false god or an idol says, that's enough. You know, you've satisfied me. Yeah. That's the problem with false gods, and why God consistently in Scripture says over and over again, do not chase after other gods. And he says it this way, for they will turn your heart away from me and towards them, is because you can never satisfy a false god or a counterfeit god. It can't hold that weight in your life. And so you're constantly trying to pacify and satisfy something false, and it never happens. And that's why we just spin our wheels and get so exhausted, because we're like, you're never going to get to the end of it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like I said, I likened that on Sunday too. That's the greatness of the gospel, and the good news of the gospel is that Jesus comes and he says, you don't have to do, you don't have to satisfy, you don't have to pacify anything, because guess what?
God is enough.
God is enough, and Jesus says, I've already done it.
Yeah.
That's why I went to the cross. That's why he says it is finished. Yeah. It's done at that moment, is because the power of the gospel saying that what you couldn't do for yourself and you would never be able to find in any other pursuit or dream or ideal in your life has been done in me. So just rest in that. boys and girls, that is powerful, powerful stuff there. And I think that's the biggest lesson that we take from Solomon's life, is not that we should be like Solomon so that we can get a lot of money and be powerful and be famous. It's to say, look where Solomon kind of stumbled and fell. And here's what I believe about Solomon. I believe that the grace of God was big enough that if Solomon would have wanted to get back up off the floor and come back to God and turn himself, God would have been... I mean, there's so much all over the Bible that God says, I do not desire to destroy you or to have you fail or to fall on your face. And I desire for you to follow me and to have your heart. So I really truly believe that Solomon could have totally turned around, looked back towards God, and the story would have been far different. And I think the encouragement for us is that wherever you are in your life, whatever you've experienced in your life...
No matter how low you've gone.
You may think that. There may be some of you who watch this or are watching this that would think, man, I have hit rock bottom. I've massively flamed out. What would God ever want to do with me? Just go read the Bible. Because every story has a moment of just massive failure.
Yeah.
And then so many of those have a moment of God's grace touching that failure and saying... This is where we're going from here. My grace is bigger than that failure, and that grace will see you through it. So again, that's a whole lot going on there as we talk about that concept of idolatry, of turning, like I said.
Idolatry.
Good, idolatry. Not adultery. Yes. Idolatry. Of turning good things.
my Indiana
Idolatry.
Kind of comes in there sometimes. Idolatry.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. So like I said, I hope that's helpful for you in thinking about this concept. I'm almost certain probably we don't sit around every day and think about how idolatrous we are.
Yeah.
Be like, what? That makes no sense at all. But I think it's worth thinking about a little bit more in your life of what things in your life have a hold on you, have their hooks sunk deep into your heart, and are possibly pulling you away.
Don't just look for the things that you deem are bad.
No.
Right? Because we've learned... Even those good things.
Even the good things can turn out to be false God things.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, hopefully that was helpful. Really encourage you to think about those things in your life. And until we see you next time, have a good one.
See you guys.